beat and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Freedom!
Hey, this is great.
Freedom,
yes, freedom, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio. Let's hit the ground running. Got a question out in the chat room. Hi in Hawaii wants to know, is cannabis really legal if we can't use it outside of our homes? Well, it depends. Okay, so let's break this down. The biggest problem with marijuana is its prohibition, and its prohibition, strictly put, is that the existence of marijuana in your possession is an open opportunity for cops to fuck with you. Okay, so that's prohibition in a nutshell to me, is that having this plant in my hand is a license for cops to fuck with my day. Okay, so when that's no longer the case, then to me, marijuana is legal, right? Now we have to start chipping away at exactly how equal or relatively legal we are compared to other things, right? Like if I held a six pack of beer in my hand outside and it wasn't opened and it's just holding that six pack of beer, nobody's ever going to do anything to me. But if I were holding more than an ounce of marijuana in my hand, I would be subject to a ticket up to 2 ounces and a misdemeanor up to 4 ounces, right? Actually different levels of misdemeanor after 2 ounces, right? I could have a keg of beer just sitting now, not tapped, but a keg of beer just sitting on a street corner with a keg of beer. Nobody's going to bother me, but just holding more than an ounce of weed, I could have the cops bothering me. So is it legal? Well, is an ounce is legal, I'm not going to get messed with for an ounce, right? So now you get into this semantic shift of, well, what is truly legal? And then that leads people to start talking about, well, when there's no more marijuana crimes, right? When you can possess as much as you want, grow as much as you want. But that's a little, that's not really looking at the reality of the situation, where we have to distinguish if there's going to be a commercial market, who's involved in the commercial market, right? Like you can't just go out and buy a ton of land and plant anything you want on it. There's environmental regulations. I'm sure there's farming regulations and zoning that comes into play. I mean, so is anything truly legal if you're going to take it to that extent? That's the thing. Legal is this big, murky kind of concept, right? So yeah, marijuana is legal in Oregon in the sense that the mere evidence of marijuana is no longer significant enough for a cop to mess with my day. Drug dogs don't work anymore for sniffing weed. The smell of weed isn't a probable cause. All these kind of things. So yeah, marijuana is legal. And there's I'm sure there's other legal things that exist that you can't use in public. I came up with the sex toys and the pornography idea. Explosives, maybe, you know, certain explosives, there's limitations on where you can use them and you might be legal to possess them and so forth. I don't know. But the main point here is that is not an argument over legal to me. It's an argument over the word like in that phrase, regulate marijuana like alcohol. Like means equal to. That's where I want this debate to go, is our equality. We've got the nation understanding that marijuana is safer than alcohol. We got them understanding that. At least half the people think that, and another quarter think it's, well, it's no worse than alcohol. So, you know, 3 out of 4 think it's that alcohol's the worse of the two. So with that in mind, knowing that they think that marijuana is less dangerous than alcohol, we can play on that inequality to say, why are we treating it unequally in the opposite direction? Why are we treating marijuana like we should treat alcohol and treating alcohol like we should treat marijuana? You know, doesn't make a lot of sense once you've established that the marijuana is safer than alcohol equality exists or inequality exists in people's brains. So is cannabis legal if you can't use it outdoors? It's legal, but it's just not equal yet. And to me, I think rhetorically we're on solid ground. The closer we stay to the fact that the worst drug there is, alcohol, the worst drug there is, kills more people, very harmful, addictive in levels equal to some of the hardest drugs out there, fatal to all liver, you know, organs of the body, just as a terrible drug, that we've taken the most awful drug and we've managed to come up with a regulatory scheme for that, that most people seem to be happy with to a large extent. If that exists, then that should be the baseline that we start with marijuana regulation. Marijuana shouldn't be regulated any more strictly than alcohol in any regime. And I'm hoping in the future, one of the states that takes on marijuana legalization, maybe after California has passed it and the momentum is really in our favor, puts that in. It can't be any more strict than alcohol regulations, because that's what the science would demand.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Science? Did somebody say science? Oh, thank you for hanging out, live listeners, here for Toker Talk Radio, coming to you from smoky, hazy Potland, Oregon. The forests are burning up. We got rerouted on our trip back from the Oregon coast. Had to take a 10-mile-an-hour hairpin mountain road just to get back to Portland. It's bad out here, folks. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Western wildfires. Stick around.
.420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the 4th Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis business experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
Marijuana may be legal in some states, but it is still very difficult to advertise. Legal marijuana states have strict guidelines about where marijuana ads may be placed. 420 Radio provides advertisers a marijuana-related on-demand platform skewed toward older adults that meets Colorado and other legal states' advertising restrictions. Visit 420radio.org/advertise to learn how you can place web ads that are immune to ad block software and audio ads heard live on 420 Radio and stored permanently in the enormously popular Russ Belville Show podcast. 420 Radio is heard by legions of dedicated fans who make up the activist leadership and entrepreneurial base of serious marijuana law reformers. Our audience is older, better educated, and more financially secure than most marijuana-related media can boast. Learn more at 420radio.org/advertise. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Mr. Kringle is soon gonna jingle the bells that'll tingle all your troubles away. Everybody's waiting for the man with the bag, 'cause Christmas is coming again.
So you're asking yourself, why am I listening to Christmas music at the end of August? Well, because the song is called Here Comes the Man with the Bag. I just thought that was a good weed song. So that's K-Star. Early 20th century, 1940s type stuff there. That's part of our new Viper Hour music library. You can catch the new Viper Hour every Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time with replays as part of our 6-hour music block, 1 a.m. on the weekends. The new Viper Hour is the best of blues, jazz, swing, big band, bebop, lounge music going from 1900. All that kind of King Oliver and Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway era, all the way up to the late 1950s Rat Pack era. It's the new Viper Hour every Monday night, 8 p.m. right here on 420radio.org. Now, we were talking before the break about these Western wildfires. Oh, my God. I went to the coast this weekend, yesterday, actually. Went to Astoria and Seaside and had a good time on the North Oregon coast, but it was just hazy. The day before, Saturday, we had our Portland Normal meeting, and Joy Beckerman came down from Seattle and did an excellent presentation on industrial hempcrete. Amazing. We even made some hempcrete. It was fun. And she went over to the Cannabis Cafe. Cannabis Cafe over at 79th and Foster here in Portland. I live, that's in Southeast Portland. I live on Northeast Portland, 5 miles away, and only had my bike to get over there. So I biked 5 miles in this smoke and haze. Oh my God. I passed another guy. He actually had one of them surgical, you know, well, not surgical masks, but you know, those little respirator masks, those little paper kind of air filter masks that painters will wear sometimes. I should have got mine out. Boy, by the end of that bike ride there and back, my eyes were burning. It was just awful. Stopped and took a picture of the sun. It was all red up in the sky from all of the soot and everything. Oh my God. So the wildfires are out of control out here in the West. So keep the firefighters in mind because they're working a very, very dangerous job. And we wish the best for them. There was a silly question that came across the marijuana news feeds. And all the way at the top of the mainstream media spectrum here, CBS News, this was in there. This was posted noon today, Eastern time. California wildfires, can burning marijuana fields get you high? Yeah. Short answer, no. Next. So this story, right, has points out that the fires are, they're burning up Northern California, and they've actually burned a lot of illegal marijuana fields out there in the Emerald Triangle. And they ask, they with a straight face, CBS News asks, are the burning pot farms going to get anybody high? And I love the answer. Quote, unfortunately, no. Or fortunately, no. Depending on your perspective. That was Ryan Vandry, an associate professor at the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Says, no, it's very unlikely that you suddenly get the munchies or feel any intoxicating effects because marijuana plants got burned up in a wildfire somewhere miles and miles away from you. Like, come on, people. But the story does go on to say it's not that marijuana smoke can't get you high. It can, according to a study that Vandry and his colleagues published in the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence. This is a story we covered with Dr. Mitch, where they wanted to answer the question, is it possible to fail a drug test because of secondhand smoke? And, you know, how many times has that been used by someone, one of ours, who have failed a drug test? But I was just in a room with people that were smoking. I didn't smoke pot myself. And it's never believed because, well, frankly, it's rarely true, right? But they did this study and they found that the secondhand pot smoke can build up in a non-smoker's body enough to make him or her feel intoxicated, and in some cases enough that he or she would even fail a drug test. But, and you have to read the rest, in order for the THC and secondhand pot smoke to get you high, you'd need to breathe in an awful lot of it, who noted that this kind of hand-me-down high only occurs when non-pot smokers are stuck in a hot box situation, that is, a room with no windows or any other source of ventilation. To get the results on their little test that they did at Johns Hopkins. And by the way, what a great study to get signed up for. We need volunteers to sit in a 12 by 12 room and smoke as much pot as you can, as fast as you can. Now, here's what the situation was. The researchers put 12 participants in a small plexiglass chamber and gave half of them joints to smoke. Even when the regular air conditioner was set up in the enclosure, enough smoke from the room was filtered out so that the non-smokers stuck in the hot box didn't experience a buzz. So even with just a box window air conditioner, you're not going to fail the drug test. You literally have to be put in a box with no ventilation whatsoever and have multiple people smoking joints a lot for you to fail the drug test or feel any secondhand effects. Now, psychologically, people will feel those effects. People that don't like pot, when they're in a room with pot smokers, they have pot smoke. Oh my God. Oh, me. Mercy me. I got the vapors. I smelt the pot smoke. Hell, you had that tennis player the other day. Was it Djokovic or whatever his name is? I don't watch tennis. Complaining he can smell smoke in the stands. Oh dear. I'm in Canada and I'm smelling pot smoke. Oh dear. Come on. It's not going to affect you like that. And according to the rest of the article, standing at the edge of a burning marijuana field, gulping up smoke would be a very, very bad idea because of the rest of the damn wildfire smoke, right? Ash comes to mind. I mean, come on, people. What a stretch. You know, it seems to me this is a 60 Minutes. This is a CBS News thing. Just playing, you know, link farming, man, or clickbait, I should say, clickbait. Just playing clickbait here. Can burning marijuana fields get you high? Is anybody really worried about this? Really? This just seems like a good way to get some hits on the website. Now, in other news, marijuana-related news, from here in the great state of Oregon, we got food carts in Oregon. You've heard of our food carts, right? Any kind of gourmet food you want, we got it from anywhere in the world, but you have to buy it out of a cart. We've got it, though. Well, a friend who owns a dispensary points out to the Weed blog that there was a cart driving around Portland, Oregon, offering free marijuana. And the pictures in the Oregonian called this thing, it's called the Smoke Buddy. And it's this little two-wheel, you know, back pickup bed size trailer. Not even that size, it's smaller than that. With a little enclosure built on top of it, a green cross, a couple of little pot leaves with their arms around each other. And the word Smoke Buddy, Smoke Buddy, painted in Rasta colors on it. And according to the report, they're giving marijuana away for free, but they're charging for the waterproof containers it comes in. So, of course, the guy who owns the dispensary wasn't happy to have to pay $4,000 to the state and have to go through safety regs and audits and inspections while some joker's out there towing a cart around giving away marijuana and charging for waterproof containers. Well, they found these people. Their name are Jessica and Larry. They wouldn't give their last names smartly. And they claim to provide organic cannabis while not accepting any donation larger than $100. You know, donation. Wink. The Oregonian reports it took less than a week for local residents Larry and Jessica to build their Smoke Buddy cart complete with Rastafari colors and a green cross. They've taken it to several neighborhoods around Portland in the past week. Well, the hammer's come down in the Oregonian today. Officials say that the Smoke Buddy cart is illegal. Any transfer of marijuana to or from a dispensary must take place at the registered address of the dispensary. It's completely illegal. So sorry.
All we want to do is pump you up.
All right, that means it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety break. When we come back, Bacon Dan will be on the line. We'll be talking to him about our Daily Toker Tunes Roots Monday tune of the day. He's got something special for us. All right, stick around. Radio, the activist radio station.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, the week is in full swing. It's Monday, Roots Monday, and that means we go to Mr. Portland himself, our own Bacon Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It feels good to be back on the air.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. It's smoky out, huh?
Yeah, it is. It looks like downtown Portland was seriously hotboxing over the weekend. Like, when I woke up on Saturday, I was like, what the hell? I walk outside, I'm like, holy crap, I can not really see across the street very well.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was pretty weird, man.
Yeah, pretty damn weird. What's been up for the past couple of weeks for you?
Oh, not too much. Working a lot. Newly single again, so, you know. I ended it. It was, you know.
Bacon Dan is back on the prowl, ladies.
That's right. hey, who knows? And I'm officially a member of Curious from Hellband now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm the official sign-up person. So If you or any of our listeners come to Dante's at 3rd Burnside on a Monday night in Portland, Oregon, I will be the person signing you up to sing live band karaoke.
Well, I just might have to go down on a Monday night one of these days and rock out.
Sounds good, man. I would love to have you down there again.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. And Aaron Ross Show still going full steam?
Oh, yeah. We just last week we had our 600th show. It was a great show. Rob, the free throw guy, announced that at the end of this upcoming season, he is retiring the free throw guy character.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Just upset at all the Blazer trades or what?
Pretty much, yeah. And he's actually kind of, he's going to be getting into the cannabis business down on the coast. So he's kind of just, you know, finishing up his ties to Portland.
Wow. Well, fantastic. Good luck to Rob, the free throw guy. And Bacon Dan is the cameraman for the Aaron Ross Show. You can catch that Tuesdays. Is it still at Dante's?
Still at Dante's.
All right. Tuesdays at Dante's. I've been a guest numerous times. It's a lot of fun every time I go, and we'll head back down there one of these nights real soon. Now, I've got a couple of songs in the upload bin, and you know what? I'm definitely going to play both of them because the one that's been sitting there for a while is a tribute, I understand. Tell us a little bit about that song and then the new song that you got loaded for us.
All right. Well, tribute-wise, as everyone knows, we lost Rowdy Roddy Piper a few weeks ago. And a lot of people didn't know he actually lived here in the Portland area for about the past, almost 25 years. He's very, very approachable. I mean, did team around town. He put Portland wrestling on the scene back in the 80s. You know, and this was his song from the wrestling album, him covering a song. Originally was called Fuck Everybody, but since they couldn't curse, they changed it for everybody. And the second song is hands down one of my favorite third wave ska songs, and that would be Superman by Goldfinger. And I was growing up playing saxophone, I always got into my ska music, so it's a nice little 1-2 punch.
All right, so we'll start things off with Rowdy Roddy. This is For Everybody. We'll follow up with some Goldfinger. Thanks, Bacon Dan. Talk to you next week. Lost a lot of pride.
sentiments exactly, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Come on, Gene, wake up. You've got business to attend to.
That's the pits. Wait a minute.
You're nuts.
Hold on. Just a second.
Right here? Hold you believe this? Right here in our very own studio? Mean Gene's going to get down. Can you believe it?
Well, I'll tell you what. He's definitely a fruity with tootie. Mean Gene Okerlund doing tootie fruity.
Are you ready, Mean Gene?
I'm ready.
All right, take it away, Mean Gene.
Radio, the home of marijuana experts. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific for Century of Lies, podcasting at drugtruth.net. Pioneering marijuana radio activist Dean Becker continues his illustrious career interviewing reform luminaries on his Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage shows from Pacifica's KPFT in Houston. Check our online listings for Century of Lies with Dean Becker from DrugTruth.net.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Oh my goodness, Holly Golightly in the EL57s with Getting High for Jesus. Well, whatever floats your boat, that works for you, great. I'm Radical Russ, you're listening to Toka Talk Radio on 420radio.org. So glad to have you here. And we've got another story to talk about, but I want to remind you that the phone lines are open at 844-207-2346, and it's open topic. You can always call, ask us any question you got on your mind. But in the meantime, I want to talk about James Banks, who's a man in Chester, South Carolina. Now, James Melvin Banks Sr., age 52, was a master sergeant in the military, in the Army. 22-year Army career, no criminal record. Taught kids as young as kindergarten and as old as college, or as old as high school ROTC, when he was not in special forces in the combat. And Banks now is going to prison for 3.5 years. He's a longtime teacher in Chester, South Carolina, a combat veteran, taught his teens about patriotism, the military, honor, and respect, was caught growing dozens of pounds of marijuana in a shed next to his house, sentenced to 3.5 years in prison after admitting he not only grew the pot, he smoked it as well. He took a plea deal and avoided a mandatory 25 years in prison. And this highlights one of the travesties of the war on drugs, and that is these mandatory minimum sentences that prosecutors really don't think apply, but they can use them as leverage to get someone to cop, to take a plea to something much less, to save the state all the trouble of going to a trial and having to gather evidence and prove the case. And I understand somewhere between 90 and 96% of our court cases in America, criminal court cases, are dealt with through plea bargaining. So he got 3.5 years in prison rather than the mandatory 25 years he was threatened with. He admitted he spent more than $4,000 on what drug agents called a sophisticated growing house that was used to grow high-potency weed far stronger than the dirt weed sold on the streets. All right, $4,000 for a sophisticated grow house? Really? Really? That's just a couple of sets of lights and some nutrients and watering equipment, isn't it? I mean, that's not a huge expense for any sort of massive grow operation. Now, the state and local police busted him. They found 200 marijuana plants and 10 pounds of drying pot. But again, I'm thinking, wait a minute, lighting and all that, how big could this have been? And when they say 200 marijuana plants, you know they're counting seedlings. You know they're counting vegetative plants, right? They're not counting that there were 200 plants there ready to bud. And they also found 10 pounds of pot, which to some people might sound like a whole lot of marijuana. But 10 pounds of pot is not a lot of marijuana in the global scheme of the worldwide drug trade. Now, Banks was injured in combat as a veteran during his 22-year Army career, and says that he was forced to medicate himself with marijuana, saying he started smoking at bedtime to help with pain and insomnia. Yet claims of sleeplessness and a bad back and shoulder turned into financial trouble in a grow house with special lights and an irrigation system. Quote, I couldn't be more sorry or ashamed. I am a hollow shadow of a proud man I once was. End quote. Brandon Moss, a state law enforcement division drug agent, testified that the super weed Banks was producing was something you don't want in our community. He should have kept himself to a higher standard being involved with children. Banks, of course, lost his teaching job, went bankrupt, and lost his home. He has serious health problems that are combat related. He's 70% disabled. And now he's going to prison for 3.5 years. And you just have to think that the only thing this poor guy is guilty of is starting his business in the wrong zip code. For he was in Chester, South Carolina, and not Denver, Colorado, or Kennewick, Washington, or Bend, Oregon, or Kenai, Alaska, or any number of places in four legal states where what he was doing, investing $4,000 in some equipment to produce a 200-plant garden, he could be a licensed state producer in four states. He'd still have the pride in his 22-year military career and no criminal record. He'd still be teaching kids. He'd still be free. He'd still be able to treat his combat-related injuries with marijuana. But no, because he's in South Carolina, he's in the wrong zip code. He needs to go to prison. Somebody who, for all these years, has been a pillar of the community, who many people must have had their kids taught through him. Many of the families and parents must know this guy personally and know him to be a good man. A man who served our country for 22 years. Now, we're going to pay for 3.5 years of his food and shelter and clothing and likely medical bills because he lived in the wrong zip code. And that's why I get stories like these, and this is what keeps me going. There's a part of me sometimes that's like, Russ, we got legal weed here in Oregon. You got everything you wanted. You're in the land of milk and honey. Why bust your back all these mornings and afternoons doing this all the time? And it's because I've got friends in South Carolina. I got listeners in Ohio. I got patients I know in Florida. I got people in Texas. I got people all over this country who don't deserve to be treated any different, who I so wish they had the peace of mind that I have living in a place that's so accepting, that's so legal. When I read a story about Banks, about Master Sergeant James Melvin Banks Sr., age 52, I think there's a guy just 5 years older than me. I think there's somebody's teacher, there's somebody's husband, there's somebody's friend whose life is being ruined for no good reason whatsoever. Now, in the story, they talk about how he claimed it was all for personal use. And the state maintained that 10 pounds is a lot of pot. 200 plants, that's a lot of plants. Don't know if that's just personal use. Nothing in the article says how he was medicating himself with marijuana. Perhaps he is using oils or lotions, topicals, edibles. Maybe he's using in such a way that requires a lot of marijuana. We don't know from this story what all his conditions are. And that's one of the shames of reporting on marijuana in the news, is so many people's ignorance of it means that their only understanding of weed is what they picked up from cultural references in movies about a bag of weed. And so they imagine, well, gee, you know, if you've got so much weed, it can't possibly just be for yourself, because pot smokers only use a little baggie of weed. And there you've got 10 pounds. Therefore, you must be some sort of dealer. And nothing in this story talks about him being a dealer or selling to anyone. This is all possession stuff that we're talking about. Because people can't comprehend, because of their ignorance about this, they can't comprehend that someone might use an ounce a day. If you used an ounce a day, you've used 2 pounds in a month and a day or two. So having 10 pounds of marijuana on hand for a crop that you can rotate, what, 4 times a year? Doesn't sound like too much weed now, does it? If you're going through 2 pounds a month. But they don't understand that. And that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this show. That's why we're continuing to educate day after day and trying to spread this message to as many people as possible every weekday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, always here at 420radio.org. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, all sorts of outlets out there. Share this information with as many people as you know. And if in the future you've got subjects you'd like me to cover, you've got research you'd like me to look into, you can always get me. I'm Radical Russ on all social media. Radical Russ on Gmail for the Gmail account, radicalrus@gmail.com, Radical Russ on Facebook, Radical Russ on Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube. I might even have a MySpace account that I've forgotten about. Who knows? Well, it's a terrible story for James Melvin Banks of Chester, South Carolina. But understand that we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting until everybody across this entire great country, every American, every citizen, every adult is finally treated like a sovereign adult and not babied in this country.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Oh, we cigarette. We must all depend on marijuana. Oh, once begin it, and you're sure to end on marijuana. It's the kind of stuff all the dreams tomato. It's the thing that white folks are afraid of. Up in Harlem, we go a marijuana jazz, smoking reefer.
Yeah, yeah, that's Cap Calloway with Smoking Reefers. That's more of our new Viper Hour tunes. Whenever someone tells you that alcohol is legal because it's been accepted in our culture for a long time, ask them if they know who Cab Calloway is and understand that this man became a popular, successful recording artist singing largely about marijuana and other drug-using characters from his vantage point in Harlem. Reefers, jive, jazz cigarettes, that all comes from the Cab Calloway era. And you can learn about it on the new Viper Hour, 8 p.m. Pacific time every Monday night. Replays 1 in the morning on weekends as part of our 6-hour music block on 420radio.org. As we wind up the hour, I wanted to point to an article up on Vice News. Keegan Hamilton writing, how America's legal weed is changing the black market and influencing Mexican cartels. The article begins in the Columbia River Gorge town of Hood River. Keegan Hamilton visited Oregon for an extended period of time. He was there at the Burnside Burn when we lit up on the bridge, me and about 5,000 of my closest friends up there, on the moment that marijuana became legal. And I got a chance to speak with Keegan quite a bit, and apparently some of our discussion has made it into this article. First quote comes in the section where he's talking about how the term legal weed is something of a misnomer, and pointed out the Eastern Oregon, or as I call it, the West Idaho Compromise, where the counties in Oregon where more than 55% of the voters opposed Measure 91, get to ban their own marijuana stores and other licensees without a vote of the people. My quote is here. It's one of those good news, bad news things, Russ Belville, the president of Portland's chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, told Vice News. The good news is we're legal now. The bad news is that what we voted for isn't what we got. It's kind of a mockery of the democratic process, end quote. My friend Sam Chapman is also quoted in the piece. He's with a new, what's his consulting firm called? I'm going to have to look it up again here on the in the list. Where's Chapman? There we go. New Economy Consulting. And he's got a couple of quotes in here as well. And farther down the article, Don Morse, another friend of the show, the director of the Oregon Cannabis Council and the owner of the Human Collective, told the current result of legalization is not the black market as most people visualize it, but friends buying from and selling to each other. And that's where my quote comes in. Belville, the Portland Normal president, noted that weed legalization frees up resources for police to focus on other types of crime, and that weed users, who may have once been hesitant to call the cops for fear they'd end up getting busted themselves, are now more likely to report domestic violence and other crimes. Violent crime and property crime have decreased in Denver since Colorado's recreational pot law took effect. As Belville sees it, Oregon's new gray market is relatively innocuous. The problem lies with strict prohibition states where gangs and organized crime groups still have the upper hand. Quote, "The farther it gets from the original grower, the blacker the market gets," he said. "When it passes from hand to hand and turf becomes an issue, that's problematic. What the black market in Oregon will be the guy who grows and shares with his friends, not for $300 an ounce, but for friend prices," end quote. So my thanks to Keegan Hamilton and that article. Very nice. I've put that out on my Twitter feed, at Radical Russ, if you want to find that information. And taking a look at the chat room, catching up, any county can refer it to the vote in 2016 and put a moratorium in place until 2016, which screws anyone over in the county from getting an OLCC license. Yeah, it's a mess what they've gone through here, you know, bending over backwards to accommodate cannabigots, people that just don't like our kind. And the reason I'm frustrated with the decision
is that the terms of the debate have changed. Ted Farioli and these guys, and to some extent, my own legal counsel at Portland Normal, John Lucy, made the point in our meeting yesterday about how there are some people who still want to live in the 1940s. And maybe it should be okay that there's places where they can live and live in the 1940s. Unfortunately, thinking like that means, you know, segregated schools, John. But anyway, he's much more libertarian than I am. Back to the point, though, is that the argument from Ted Farioli and these Eastern Oregonians is that these counties would have voted anyway to ban the marijuana licensees. So if you just found out in the statewide election that they were over 55% against it, the chances they're going to pass it are zero to nil, you know, slim to none in their mind that it's ever going to pass. So why force them to go through and have a second vote? And the reason is because the terms of the debate have changed. The first vote was marijuana is nowhere legal in the state of Oregon. Do you think we ought to have legal pot shops? Among other things, right? There's a lot of other stuff in the bill, but if we're just going to focus this talk about Eastern Oregon's perspective on whether there should be pot shops, the first time they were asked whether there should be pot shops, marijuana was not legal anywhere. Now, if they were forced to have to go back to the ballot to approve any of these bans in the eastern counties, the debate would be about marijuana's legal everywhere in the state. Should there be legal pot shops? Because the whole debate changes, and who knows how many people you might have won over in that debate by pointing out that, yeah, when marijuana was illegal, it's understandable to not have a pot shop. But now that marijuana is legal, if you don't have a pot shop, all you've created is legal consumers for a black market. All you've done is incentivize the black market. You've taken a lot of the risk out of their customers' lives. The best thing the drug dealer in Eastern Oregon could have hoped for is to ban all licensees in Harney County, Malheur County, what's the other one out there? Big old county, Union County, whatever it is. All these Eastern Oregon counties want to keep that game in play. And the frustrating part of this is that we never got a chance to make that case in Eastern Oregon. We never got to have the debate, the public debate of marijuana is now legal in your county. Anyone in your county can grow 4 marijuana plants. Any adult can grow 4 marijuana plants on their property. Do you want those people growing their 4 marijuana plants and then packaging it and selling it to their friends who don't want to have to drive to Bend or to Portland to get some weed? I think that's a case that could have swayed some minds out there. Maybe not enough. Maybe it still goes down in all those counties. But to me, to have conceded the whole point on the need for a legal place to buy if it's legal to grow and possess, how we didn't get the opportunity to point out that through their move to ban, after July of 2017, they're not going to get any more pot taxes. And oh, well, that's the other part of it. That's the other frustrating part is that between the first of 2016 and the middle of 2017, like an 18-month window, there's going to be a 25% tax at dispensaries that charge people like me. And then once the pot shops come into existence, there's going to be a 17% state tax on people like me. And those Eastern Oregon counties that are banning get a chunk of that. For 18 months, they get a chunk of that. Now, maybe that's a silver lining. Maybe it's the thing where you go, hey, 18 months, they get used to that money coming in. And then when it's suddenly cut off, maybe they decide having a pot shop ain't such a bad idea. Maybe some of them long hairs will work there and at least be inside. They'll have jobs. Maybe instead of the people smoking and dealing out in the parking lots and the alleys and the parks, maybe they'll go into that enclosed place where IDs are checked and we can make some of a up to 3% tax locally on that commerce.
Maybe it just has to be this way. Maybe that's the only way we can drag some people kicking and screaming into the 21st century. That's all the time we got, folks. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks for joining us here from Rolla J Studios in beautiful, hazy, legal Potland, Oregon. I'm Radical Russ. Until tomorrow, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.